Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video. Find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Perhaps ask yourself if this is what's going on. You feel like you cannot be loved. This is too much.
Now here we go.
You feel like you are, something about you is ruined because of what you've done or are doing, and there's something broken about you, and you feel like you cannot be loved. Perhaps this is true in your relationship with God as well, and you want to tell someone this who you know loves you, and it's a win-win situation for you, because if you tell them and they still love you, you go, ah, yes, finally, I'm loved. Despite my past. And then if they leave, then you get to go, aha, I knew it.
I was right.
I am unlovable. Yeah. This is common. We do this.
I know it hurts. I'm sorry. All right. You came to the right place, you ding dong. It's called communication, baby.
Welcome to The Crunch, the only podcast where all of the neurotransmitters are firing at 155%. It's your boy, Ethan.
And I'm Patrick. This is a special episode of The Crunch called Dr. Ethan's Dating Corner. We get so many questions about dating that we decided to make it its own show. If you have a dating question, a salacious dating question for our earballs, go to bit.ly/crunchdiscord, go to the Dating Corner channel and submit your question there. It'll probably get answered right away, and then we'll answer it on the show. See how the answers match up. But Ethan, are you ready to get into the questions for this week?
My dopamine sensors are overloading right now.
I don't think you know that much about the human brain.
I know that there are various glands and neurons that fire at different times in response to different stimuli. And I think you are not respecting the size of my hippocampus right now.
It's like a bunch of hippos going to college. I like that word.
I got a frontal lobe that could make your grandmother sing.
What? Hey, check out these lobes.
Check out my grandma. Check out my lobe. Peels open skull.
Is it supposed to look like Troopers? Is that supposed to do that?
Yeah.
I ran headfirst into a brick wall, and now my lobes are showing.
Yeah. Everybody talks about their frontal lobe, but nobody talks about the lobe of the heart. And that's what we're here for, is to talk about your aortas and your ventricles in here. I'm going to fix them. I'm a doctor. And we're going to bring it all back. All right.
A doctor of the heart.
A doctor of the heart. A surgeon of the mind. All right, let's go.
From Joshua 23.
I'm ready.
So, I finally had a girl message me back on Catholic Match about a month ago. I don't know if this is... Oh, first time ever after being there for a year. Oh, no. Sorry.
Well,
we messaged for about 2 weeks, video chatted a couple times. I thought it was going well. We had a smooth conversation that only paused a few times, but I was ready to pivot to something more interesting. We obviously shared values, talked about the Catholic faith quite a bit, and I thought we had a few common interests. I really liked her and was understandably a little nervous, so I prepared quite a bit for the conversations. Maybe I tried too hard, but on the whole, I felt like I was pretty much myself. I don't typically lead conversations because I'm kind of shy, and it usually takes people a bit to warm up to me, and then they like me. But I wanted to make a good first impression. Anyway, I asked her if she wanted to talk again next week, and she said she needed to think about it. A few days later, she said she just wasn't connecting with me. What does this mean? How important is this before a first date? There's another paragraph. I know you want to feel close to the person you're building a relationship with, but I think some people or relationships establish special connections at different time scales than others. I feel like I'm in a catch-22 where I'm either not connecting with people fast enough for their tastes, or I'm not myself and I'm rushing it. This isn't the first time either. I went on a date with my best friend a few years ago, and while it went super well, she didn't want to continue because she didn't feel that spark. I just don't understand because we were such close friends and it went so great. Very romantic. She even told me I did everything right. What the heck is this connection or spark that women seem to think is all important in starting a relationship? What can I do differently to get it? Help. I had a doctor tell me once, for context, I had a doctor tell me once she thought I could be so ever slightly on the spectrum. I never got
the most medical diagnosis of all time.
I never got the full suite of tests, but we did find a learning disability, and I scored past the thresholds on the test that I did take. To be clear, not a diagnosis. You might have a touch of the tism. What do we do?
Wow. Lightly kissed.
Lightly kissed by the tism.
By the tism. Well, thanks for writing in. This is a great question. The spark of which you seek is not something that you can get. There is no, you can't go down to the spark store and get a can of spark and then crack it open on your date to ensure that it happens.
Yeah.
I think what you are searching for and have not yet been able to find is someone that likes you. And that's not your fault. This is just this is just a numbers game at this point. So like you had talked to this girl on Catholic Match first one in a year. And then before that you went on a date with your best friend. It sounds like these are the only two dates that you've gone on. I mean, if you're 0 for 2, okay.
Got to get more at bats, man.
You need to get a lot more at bats. I think the reason that you're so discouraged is because your dating experiences are so few and far in between that there's no way for you to build up any kind of there's a certain cadence of dates, you know, like if you go on a lot of dates and you start to learn like what to talk about, what to ask about, you know, what will lead to a good conversation, where you feel comfortable, the jokes that you can make that are funny, you learn about what to ask women about that they enjoy talking about. But if you only go on dates once a year or once every 2 years, then you have no rhythm. You've got no flow. It's like playing basketball once a year. Of course you're going to brick the ball off of the rim. And it's going to be like the guy in Monster House, you know, when he throws, you know what I'm talking about? Uh-huh. You know, that beam where he, like, every time he dribbles the ball, an entire Marvel movie plays. Have you seen that?
No.
It's like a really crazy where he like dribbles the ball and then just like Iron Man one, like it just shows it's really fast. And then it dribbles again. Avengers. It's just, I don't know. It's really funny. Anyway. So I think you gotta go on more dates and this problem will go away. I also think that you just need to be yourself. You need to not worry too much about if I ask these types of questions and if I prepare this much, that is good. But if I ask, you know, too many of those types of questions, or if I prepare too much, then it will be, you know, then I'm leaving the spark zone and I have to stay inside of the spark zone. Like you're trying to prepare. Rudy's got the spark. You're trying to prepare like enough, but not too much so that you stay in this imaginary lane that you've created. And it's just not real. Like if you're just normal and you're just yourself, if she likes you and you're compatible, then you'll hit it off. And sometimes you just don't hit it off with girls. I've been on plenty of dates where I'm like, I can't wait for this to be over. And it's not because there's anything wrong with the girl or she didn't prepare enough. It's just, I don't know. It just didn't work out.
And I'm not worried about the autism. I know a very happily married man who has been playing Candy Crush, only Candy Crush, for 30 years, it seems like. I know it couldn't have been that long, but that man is very happily married, and he's playing Candy Crush, and he sits down and plays it for an hour and then gets up and is done. and he's on level like 3,000. You telling me that man is neurotypical? No. And he is happily married. So I'm
think
not
maybe weak. Maybe consider not talking about Crusader Kings 2 while you're on perhaps your first date. Or Hearts
or
of Iron
Anderson's
4.
Brandon Sanderson's The Way of Kings.
Or Brandon Sanderson's The Way of Kings, which
on the shelf.
Yeah.
I have it right here.
Yeah.
if you're a Brandon Sanderson person, Discord, I want to talk about I'm interested in him as a person and as an author.
Like he is basically the Mormon Cal Newport for fiction.
That's too many qualifiers to be.
I know,
to be a good.
But, he just writes a 7 out of 10 book every year. You know, like he just always is putting out good content, and people really like him for that. And so he just makes me think. It just feels like in a couple of weeks I'm going to be hearing about how you're going to start writing a fantasy novel. And I'm gonna
have to
deal with that.
I like consuming the content. I do not. Mm-hmm. I would not want to produce it because I would feel stupid.
No, I think you'd write
the words.
I think you'd write a good fantasy novel.
You think so?
Just instead of the post office, just make it about a guild. You know what I mean?
And a post guild.
Yeah, you have a great story already with your mail service story, but just make it medieval. You know, your gold.
What if I write the same story every time?
Instead of guns, it's just magic.
Yeah,
done.
That's
my child is just outside the
best
door.
Best sound in the world, right?
He knows I'm in here.
Dada.
Yeah. Anyway, do we have another question? I think answers that one.
I think so too. You're doing great, Joshua 23. Get after it.
Yeah, don't worry. Just go on more dates. Get on more apps. Ask out more women. Mm-hmm. Just get some more practice in. Even if you don't see them going anywhere, I think just going on dates would be good practice for you. Like just taking women out.
There's an Instagram guy who is on the spectrum, and he talks about dating on the spectrum.
Yes,
and there's also a Netflix show about it, which I find. Yeah. Very, very. What's it called? Patronizing.
Yeah, certainly.
Let's watch the Down syndrome people fall in love. That's just very. Seems kind of.
It's like the Shane Gillis bit where he's like, "I love the Special Olympics, but can you imagine the guy that came up with it first?" And like the conversation where he like raised his hand at the meeting, like, "What if we had?
What if we made him?"
What if we made him race
around, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway. What if we had him race? Isn't one of JD's kids a Paralympian? I remember.
Really? Oh, I didn't know that.
Junior Paralympian.
Cool.
Yeah, not Paralympian, Special Olympian.
Paralympian is like, I didn't know JD's kids were missing
Paralympics.
Limbs.
Yeah. I think I saw him doing the Paralympics or something. I don't know. But anyway.
Yeah. Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this.
This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Vim, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Save big money when you start your next project today at Menards. Check out our great selection of garage and utility lighting options. In stock, ready to take home today. We carry everything to help you illuminate whatever project you're working on. Shop garage and utility lighting products in store at your nearest Menards. You can also view all of our entire selection of lighting options today on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
This episode of The Crunch is sponsored by Briefcase Marketing. If you work or know people who work or are a Catholic parish, you need to listen to this. Hold on. I used to work at a church. You guys know this.
Yeah.
And website design is very important to me because it can be the difference between getting no phone calls from confused parents or 1,000 phone calls from confused parents about when your events are or where forms are located. You know, it's...
It's dangerous. I've never worked in a parish, but I have used many, 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 many parish websites where I've spent, it's like with a machete in the African jungle trying to find the mass times. And I think we've all had that experience.
Yeah. And they're not updated
and they're wrong. And you show up and the church is empty and you miss mass for that day. And you call your dad and you're like, what do I do? And he says, I don't know. This is your fault. And it's just a mess. And you get yourself in a big old mess. And what Briefcase Marketing does, they make sure that mess doesn't happen. You know, nobody has to go through that. Yes.
The Catholic Church, as you know, Ethan, needs beauty in all of its areas, in the physical world, but also in the digital world as well. And they focus on
beauty.
That's
why I post pictures of myself online every day.
And that's why I consume those photos. Indeed. I make sure to consume them every time. But, you know, It's hard to know exactly what a good website looks like, especially if you're not a pro. There's a je ne sais quoi about website design. You know what I mean? Yes. Where like something that Deacon Steve, I know many Deacon Steves, wonderful people, but something that Deacon Steve thinks looks great is actually super hard to navigate and is obscene. But see Dan over at Briefcase Marketing, he knows what looks good and is easily usable by old people and toddlers alike.
Yes. Yes. And the nice thing is he's got experience. This is not just some startup guy who doesn't know what he's doing. He's worked with small Catholic parishes all the way up to $250 million companies. So this is a guy who has a ton of experience and knows what he's doing. He's going to be very professional. He's going to set up your website. He's going to help you walk through it. He's going to maintain the website for you, do everything that needs to be done. So that the people that just want to know when mass is and just want to know where the fish fry is located on the parish grounds can find that information quickly and easily.
I want to give you an example of something that he did for a parish in Ohio that he can do for your parish. So if you want this at your parish, just, you know, I'll give you a call to action at the end. Go to thecrunchcast.com/briefcase actually to sign your parish up. But St. John Cantius had this old website that was just awful. It needed an update. It was one of the most beautiful churches in its area, but no one knew that because the digital footprint of the parish was weak, was ugly. And so so Dan came in and he provided a professional photographer to capture the church. The photos were used across all marketing material, including the website. He designed CTA buttons to get people to sign up for events all throughout the website, so people that are thinking about joining the parish could join and actually become a part of the community. And since that launch, they've received nothing but positive feedback from website visitors. They had an easier time navigating it. There more people were able to show up to parish events, and they were able to quickly send updates without those spammy pop-ups you see sometimes on websites. So if your parish is having that problem, that's the problem that Dan can solve. So go to thecrunchcast.com/briefcase, fill out a quick form, and Dan will get in touch with you, see how he can help you. It might be a big project, small project, whatever you need. Email Dan. Well, not email. Sorry. Go to thecrunchcast.com/briefcase. Professional podcaster, this guy right here.
Thecrunchcast.com/briefcase. Briefcase Marketing. Thank you so much for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch.
Okay. So this one comes from Jacob. Salute. That's his emoji. Hey, guys. I have a question. I'm in a bit of a bind and could really use some... I'm in a bit of Amanda Bynes, and I could use some advice about this girl I met north of where I live. Let's call her Yui.
I don't want to do this question. I'm not interested in answering this.
You've seen this already?
I've seen it. It's the Avatar thing. I don't want to do this. I want to answer real questions.
All right, fine.
He just recounts the whole plot of Sokka and Yue. And the only thing that you can say at the end is that's rough, buddy. And then we just move on. Like I thought
I could get it past you by the UE instead of the UA.
No, I knew what was coming. Wonderful attempt. Great for the Discord. I do not want to do that on the podcast.
All right, Ben. That was a myth. If you wanted to get it on the podcast, you should have done what the Loch Ness Monster person did years ago and give a completely believable story until the punchline.
Yes.
Oh, man. Okay. This one has a siren next to it. So I don't quite know what that means.
It probably means urgent or
probably.
Call the police.
Dr. Ethan, Nurse Patrick. And the whole dating corner, I have a bit of a situation. I'm currently dating a wonderful young man. We've been together for 8 months as girlfriend, boyfriend. He's brought me so much joy. I can envision a future with him. I've decided to confess to him that I struggle with pornography. I believe that he deserves to know. However, my question is whether or not it's also revealed to him that in the past, I have twice sent pictures of the inappropriate kind to other men. I am ashamed of these things. I don't want these things to push him away or make him break up with me. What should I do? How much of my sexual past should I reveal? Thanks.
I mean, you don't really have to reveal anything that you don't want to reveal.
Yeah.
Like your sins are yours. Like if you've confessed them and given them up to God, he forgives you. If you're striving for virtue, they're not really all that relevant. I think the pornography thing is probably way more of an issue if it's like an active sort of struggle, you know, because
that
is
if you're like especially addicted to pornography, that's an important one.
Right.
Because
that is like a substance abuse issue in a certain sense where it's like the person that you're with needs to know when I feel stressed, when I feel anxious, when I feel rejected, whatever the feeling is, I turn to this thing and it's damaging to me and I need accountability or I need help or I need prayers. Like that's a much more appropriate thing. But I think like the things in the past, it's really only if you want to share them. You know, I don't think like as a guy, I don't think it would scare me. I don't think it would freak me out. I don't think it would surprise me because I'm like well adjusted, you know, and I assume that the person you're dating is well adjusted. So it's really your choice. Like we can't tell you one way or another. I think as long as you're repentant and it's not really affecting your day to day, you don't really have to bring it up. So that would be my take.
That's what you've told guys in the same situation. I think that's fair. Yeah. I tell her about my past. Like, well, maybe, probably not.
Maybe. Yeah. Who cares?
Yeah.
The only person that cares about your past is you.
Is you. Yeah.
We've made this whole thing because of all the testimonies that we've heard that like, oh, I have to, and people think that like, oh, my past is such a big deal and I've been through so much. I've been through so much pain. It's like, you probably are just trying to find a way to ingratiate someone to you by telling them about how hard you've had it. And I think it's best to just avoid it, you know, like what you're probably looking for is someone to hear all these things about you and say, oh, that's okay. Like, I love you. Like, that's what you're really looking for. So like, instead of maybe just dumping all the stuff that you've done wrong on someone, just like be in a relationship with them and let them learn how to love you naturally instead of kind of forcing this emotional intimacy really quickly by telling them about the bad things that you did. And I'm not saying people are malicious in doing this, but I think people do this, you know.
No, it's a human thing. Perhaps ask yourself if this is what's going on. You feel like you cannot be loved this is too much.
Now, here we go.
You feel like you are, something about you is ruined because of what you've done or are doing, and there's something broken about you, and you feel like you cannot be loved. Perhaps this is true in your relationship with God as well. And you want to tell someone this who you know loves you. And if they, it's a win-win situation for you, because if you tell them and they still love you, you go, ah, yes, finally, I'm loved despite my past. And then if they don't, if they leave, then you get to go, aha, I knew it.
I was right.
I am
unlovable.
I am unlovable. Yeah. This is common. We do this.
Yeah.
We've done
I think it's best to just avoid it. Anybody who's out there who's thinking about these types of things or wants to, I don't know. Unless it's like relevant, you know what I mean? Or if someone's like asking, or like, I just don't, it doesn't matter. The past doesn't exist anymore. It's not real. You know, you are where you are in the present and you're making the choices that you're making now. And like the past, sure. But it's, I think people allow maybe their past to dictate their current activities a bit too much.
A little too much.
Yeah.
You got this.
You're doing great. This is good awareness that you had to even ask the question.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Let's see. From Anonymous. These are always good. I recently asked a girl out on a date. I picked a cafe in her area and offered to give her a lift in the 2-week lead up. We talked on the phone up to 3 hours every day. She told her friends about me, and we even met up to go to Adoration together. We had known each other well beforehand, so despite it being clear it was a date, it seemed like we were just a lot further along. In hindsight, I don't think this was a prudent approach. My sisters knew her well and firmly told me I should not date her. They were concerned with personality clashes. At first, I didn't realize their concerns were so strong and thought I had considered them in my prayer and discernment, but as the date approached, they were more direct with their advice. I trust my sister's judgment, and when I explored their perspectives properly, I understand the issues and decided I should not continue to pursue a relationship with this girl. Once I knew this, the idea of wasting more of her time, continuing the phone calls every night, possibly meeting her family when picking her up and taking her on a date seemed wrong. I called and canceled. My explanation was not very clear, so she asked if we could meet up and discuss it properly. I declined, but thought better of it, and now we're still friends. Oh, wait. I declined at first, but thought better of it, and now we are still friends. What is your advice on pacing a relationship so that discernment can take a more natural route? I prefer to know a girl and start discerning before I ask her on a date. If I'm more prudent leading up to the date, can I continue being deliberate with who I ask out on the date, feeling like a bigger deal than it needs to be? Wait. Who I ask out without the date feeling like a bigger deal than it needs to be. I also want to hear what you think about offering a lift for the first date. I know some girls who have been offended that a guy didn't offer to drive her, but in my case, I feel as though it contributed to feeling a lot less casual, making it difficult to push through when I was not going to pursue her any further. I'm confused.
I think the question should be, should I have allowed my sisters to talk me out of going on a date with this person that I talk to on the phone with every day for 3 hours?
You should not have let them do that.
Sisters,
man.
I'm baffled. I wish he would have included like what their concerns were. Cause like,
yeah.
Unless this girl is like a serial killer, I just don't know what personality conflict people.
Yeah.
Me and Emma are the most different people on the planet in terms of personality. You know,
yeah.
We conflict all the time.
Yeah.
Personality wise.
My wife hates going to parties. She does not want to go to social events. She is the biggest introvert ever. I'm the only person in her introvert circle, and she likes it that way. And I am like, let's go to everything. You know, I have news for you. You're a man and she's a woman. That's about as different as it can get.
Shocking.
I know.
I have a lot of questions. I have a question for you, man. Why'd you let your sisters talk you out of going on this date that it sounds like you wanted to go on?
Older sisters should be illegal. They do this. If you're an older sister, not a middle sister, if you're an oldest sister, against the laws, you should not. Yeah, I'm just kidding.
I think this is similar to what we were saying in the last question of
Aaron,
how it does
it. Not you. You're great.
No, we were talking about you specifically. It doesn't matter how fast the relationship is going. What is this? Like, when did this, I don't want to go too fast. What does that mean? Like, I don't want to enjoy I don't want to enjoy myself too much too quickly. Mm. What? Like, the whole point, dating is so great. It's such a cool time because you get this rush and this thrill that you never get at any other point in your life where you're like meeting someone new and you're learning about them and you both like spending time with each other. That's just how dating is. It's just fast at the beginning because it's exciting. And so you like you're pulled naturally towards wanting to get to know more about them and wanting to spend more time with them.
Yeah, and I'm confused because I've been in a situation like this before where I went on a date with someone I had known for a while, and at the end of the date it was pretty clear, not the end of the date, but the end of like the conversation. It was like a couple of days later it was pretty clear that it was like, no, we know each other too well. And so the relationship would be, we wouldn't have like a getting to know each other stage. We would be like and I was like, this is not,
it's weird.
It was pretty clear that we weren't there. Like it was pretty clear that we weren't attracted to each other in that way. And so then the texting stopped.
Yeah.
Like the relationship-y part stopped, but it seems to me like it's still, he says, once I knew this, continuing the phone calls, possibly meeting her family, etc., seemed wrong, but it's like I didn't want to keep talking to her on the phone every night. It seems like he does still want to.
You don't need to moralize this. Like, what do you? What do you like her? Do you want to talk to her? Do you want to meet her family? There's nothing wrong about doing those things. Mm-hmm. Like, you're imposing these like moral restrictions on this situation because your sisters told you to not date her. When in reality, the moral restriction is just like, don't sin, you know, like don't commit any sins, like going to a cafe with a lady, even if you don't end up, maybe you meet her family and you drive her and you pick her up, you go on the cafe, Yeah. I've taken a girl on one date where I picked her up at the door and I met her parents, you know, and I didn't go on any more dates with her. It was fine.
Yeah.
What are we talking about, man? What are we talking about?
You're okay. Don't overthink it. You're shooting yourself in the foot there.
Yeah.
Oh man. Do you think we have time for one more?
I think we have time for one more.
Yeah. Okay. Time for one more. From Kelsey. Dr. Ethan, what do you do when you like a guy and you've become friends with him and he texts you every day, but then he doesn't ask you out? For perspective, I am approaching 30. I met this guy through work. I live in the city and there's a large Catholic presence in this area. I invited this guy to game nights and events around the office and he attends. Why hasn't he asked me out? How do I be more obvious that I'm interested in this being more than a coworker relationship? Love the crunch. Keep it up. I love that. Thanks. Wow. Always include that in your...
This just a slider right over the plate. You know, we're about to take this thing to deep center field.
Easy.
Easy. Hey, I know we've been texting a lot. I know you've come to some of the things I've invited you to. I really enjoy talking to you. Are you going to ask me out or should I just move on?
Best line. This is why he's a surgeon of the heart. Wait, a
surgeon of the mind. A doctor of the heart. A surgeon of the mind. Not of the brain. Of the mind.
Of the mind. The soul. I cut through marrow. That's
me. I think you can go to him and just say, listen, we've talked a lot. We've hung out. You know?
Come on.
I think that line that I just said is great. If you want to say, is there a reason you haven't asked me out yet?
Yeah.
He could be gay. You know, we don't know.
Coworkers so might, these days.
That'd be a great discovery.
Just coworkers in general.
Yeah. He could be, you know, in seminary. Who knows? Like, there's all kinds of things. He's probably not in seminary.
He could be trying to FaceTime a girl on Catholic Match, and he's really locked in on that, you know?
He's stressed out. He's really focused on his... He's really focused on his Crusader Kings 2 campaign, and he can't think about anything else.
He's going out for varsity sport, and so he's really not ready for a relationship right now.
Yeah, you just got to ask him. I mean, you're 30, especially even it's even easier when you're 30 because you can just go and just be like, "I'm 30, and you're 30."
Listen,
what are
buddy,
we doing?
Right.
Come on, hey, you know, I don't have. Come on.
TikTok.
You know what I mean?
You know, it's like,
TikTok. There's only so many mimosa brunches that we can go to before one of us decides to unalive.
There's only so many barcades we can go to before one of us decides to call it quits.
Right. There's only so many Mario Kart with alcohol events that we can run before we decide that we're just done and that we're going to be old. So I think, please, Brian, just ask me out.
Yeah.
I think that's what you should do, and I don't think it should be very hard, and I don't think it should be very awkward, and he'll probably ask you out.
Pet-friendly coffee shops. That's another one. Those are all over the place.
We need more kid-friendly coffee shops. I need a kid coffee shop that has a pickler triangle that my son can climb on.
It's such a no-brainer. It's such a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Moms need a space to go hang.
Yes. And you know what moms love to do?
Hang? Guys like me who have an office. You know,
women love to go and have their little coffee.
They love a little coffee. They love their little sit and chat.
I do like a little drink, but they love to sit and chat. And if you give them a place to get their little coffee and then put their little bean, you know, next to them at the big bean. How about this? Big little bean at the big bean. Hold on. Let me try again.
Little beaners. That's what we call it.
No, you can't say that.
That's
just a bunch of Hispanic kids running around.
No, you can't say that.
I thought that's what you were trying to reference.
No, I was trying to do a. Oh, I accidentally said. That's.
I thought you were
in a couple of years.
I thought you were.
Say WAP. You know.
Oh yeah, it's not a big deal. I think it's one of those like my wife is Hispanic. You know, 1/4. So
not
I can
enough. Not enough.
No, yeah.
She's only half. I can't say that.
I think it's like grind your beans. There's got to be some combination of we have beans and you have little and you have beans and we should merge the beans. Hey, I'm going down to bean merge. Do you want to come?
I'm going to the bean bag.
They throw all of our kids in a sack and they and rough that's them what up. They say.
No, but yeah. it's those places used to exist and they were called McDonald's. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
You used to have the a little playground. You used to have a little play place. But there's two problems with that. Well, no, one, I know it would be profitable because there was a coffee shop in Pittsburgh called Brother Andre's, and there was a mom's Bibles. It was like in the basement of the church. And the moms would come for Bible study, let their kids run around. It was a relatively safe place that kids could run around. But it wasn't like toddlers. But the problem is if you have like too big of a sub, like if it's a suburb, there's too many people who, and it's hard to like, people don't keep those things clean, you know?
Yeah.
There's random kids coming in. And what we should do is our churches should have little coffee shops where the moms can come and it's just open. And there's a little place to, they just need a pen. They just need a little gate.
They just need an area that they can't escape from or hurt
themselves. Yeah, that's all they need.
The Rugrats.
Because they can't really hurt themselves or each other in a way that's meaningful, you know? I've never seen a kid like die on a Pickler triangle. You can like walk away, you know?
That's true for anybody that's more than 5 years younger than how old you are right now. It's like they just can't hurt each other in any way that's meaningful.
Yeah.
You don't get it.
Oh, man.
You don't understand.
I'm sorry I said that.
No, I think it was funny. It made me laugh. I think
we should keep it in.
I think it's funny. I think it's funny when you use slurs on the podcast. It's fun.
I think it's funny to use it in a way that it's like, oh, I didn't know that was gonna sound like that, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I think how about bean can of beans? How about instead of roasting our beans, we bake our beans.
Okay.
You know? So it's kind of like, and it's also a weed shop.
Yeah.
Okay.
A dispensary.
A dispensary coffee shop called Baked Beans. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
And it's for kids. And it's for kids only. And it's only for kids.
Parents can't go.
Parents can't come. All right. That's all for us at the Pizza Hut Burger King
combination Pizza Hut Wings
the combination weed coffee shop patreon.com/thecrunch if you like our work and you want to support us, you want to get more of our podcasts, which is more of just this for an hour every Friday. We also have a Discord. It's got bit.ly/crunchdiscord. That's a place to go where you can have community. We've got 1,111 people in it today, which
Huge.
Is pretty cool. So join all of those friends, make some new friends, have some community, have some fun. Patrick, do you have anything else for the people?
I'd like to express my sincere apologies to the Hispanic community for the language that I used. I'm continuing to educate myself and learn, and I will do better.
Thank you to Briefcafe. Come on.
You can't pivot into a sponsorship after I said that.
Thank you to Briefcase Marketing for sponsoring this episode of the Crunch Catholic Podcast. We'll see you guys next time.
Bye, everybody.
This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Vim, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.